Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Memphis shit. Let's go hook him up!
Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio. And of course, I almost ruined the show before it even started because I forgot to merge the calls. My other co-host will be on in about 40 minutes to talk tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs. But for right now, I am joined by one of my favorite people in pro wrestling, and that is she is a wild bundle of fun and excitement and constantly on a sugar rush, and that is one Solo Darling. How are you doing today, Solo?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm just coming off freaking out because I was like, why isn't the theme music starting? And then I realized I didn't merge the calls. And then I was like, wow, that would have been like the worst call ever, show ever.
Man, I would have been really quiet for once. That would have been a surprise.
Right. But so I guess to get started, I have to ask that standard wrestling question, and that is, Solo, you grew up in New York, and how did a New York girl decide to get into this crazy world of pro wrestling?
Well, I watched it as a little kid. I was like three. I was really up. I mean, like, not like I grew much taller since then. I like to, you know, be consistent with my height. And I used to collect the cards, and my mom used to give me like a pre-ripped kind of shirt, you know, like Hogan, and I had a boa, yeah, so I could be like raw and like rip my shirt, you know, and think that I was like super jacked at such a small age. Lord knows how. It's not like I drank my milk or anything like that. And then I kind of steered away from it for a while. Like, I just got into other things. I did music, and then it came around full circle. Once you have the bug, it doesn't ever really leave, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I've been a fan for over 30 years, and they've pissed me off many times, but I always come back the next Monday or the next show. So it's like, you know, you know, you can be a worker or a fan and be a lifer to this business.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, you get mad, you flip a table, and then, you know, come back and you just get a new table. I wouldn't pick it back up. I just get a new table.
Now, you actually got your start at a very good place. Actually, you mentioned about your height and being consistent. I was looking, I looked up at a couple pages to just try and find a little information on you and some of your matches. And according to your Wikia page, you are 5'7".
I am, actually. It's about 60 inches of bodily height and then an additional 7 of pure sugar rush. We bottled it up and we put it into lips, but it only comes out when I come out to the ring. Right,
awesome.
Before I come out, I just get a huge growth spurt. That's why I can barely reach the top rope.
And anyway, I was getting to the point where you got a good start because you started off at a very good place to start wrestling, and that is Ohio Valley Wrestling. And what made what made you decide to go from New York to Kentucky, I believe, to start training with guys like Rip Rogers and Al Snow and the crew down there?
Well, I started off after high school with my chemistry degree at Northeastern University in Boston. Woo! They have good food up there. Polite. And I moved to Kentucky to go to OVW because it was like, well, where do we go? Where do you want to go? And you look up where you want to go to school, and that's one of the ones that was popping up. And I picked up, and I was like, well, yeah, I've never lived over there. Let's do that. Go on an adventure. And we picked up and went, and I got to train with Rip a little bit, yeah. Al Snow is an awesome mind for stuff. I got to pick his brain a lot about psychology and things while he was there. It wasn't very long time that I got to kind of work. It was one of those, like, in and out, kind of an in-between travels, you know, the two ships crossing kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And through that, I got to meet Cindy Snow, who's just amazing and awesome. Got to really get a good experience for what it's like to go out when there's, like, camera, you know, different places you have to kind of work towards, and the crowd is still there, so make sure you're paying attention, you know, to everybody who's there watching and supporting you and giving you that head start, you know. Those fans have seen a lot of first matches, a lot of first matches, so it was a very almost comforting situation to know that they know what you're going through kind of thing.
How long had you been training before you had your first match in front of those fans?
A couple months. It wasn't a long time. I went and trained, and then I left for a while because I was still in college. And I went to U of L, and then I came back and then, you know, did a little ditty. And then by that point, I had my first match. So cumulatively, it wasn't many months. It wasn't like a year under my belt or anything. I had like maybe 5 months, I'm going to say, estimate.
Looking back, do you feel that you were ready for your first match at the time?
You're never ready. You're never going to be ready. Al Snow said it once. Wait. If you really want this, just keep waiting till you're ready, because it'll never come. You'll wake up one day and you'll be like, oh, man, I'm like this age already? Like, what happened? So you just kind of got to dive in and know that one day you're going to cringe when you look back on it, but it's going to still be fun. You're going to still have that nostalgia of a good time. So.
That's actually some great advice that he gave you. We actually once had Al on the show, and he started yelling. Well, not at me. He started yelling at one of my co-hosts, and it was an awesome time.
Yeah.
But
it's good. You have to have the experience of not having the experience. I can't say that my last match was better or worse than the one before or the one after or the one that I'm going to have, but I can say that with every match you have, you kind of have to be like, well, all right, I know about 10% of what I'm doing, and then hopefully the next time I'm going to know 20% and get a bunch of critiques that are really going to help me in the long run. It's really taking the critiques and using it in the next match that makes more of a difference, you know.
Now, getting critique, some people can handle critique, some people can't. Was it hard at first, or was it just something you knew and you accepted and you just went, you know, with their advice that they gave you?
No, I love it. Even now, I confide in some very good friends of mine that I respect highly, and I've had a lot of help from the likes of Leva Bates and Rob Naylor in terms of what you like, what you don't like, and what looked good, what didn't look good, or where could I have improved here and there. And I've had the pleasure of having a lot of mentors along the way that I really respect, especially all of the girls in like the Shimmer and the Shine locker room that have been there for me when I had my first match. You know, like I started Shine 9 and I was like, holy Christmas, oh man. And just wide-eyed and like, this is so cool. The ring is pink. But I am always going to be hungry for knowledge. I want to learn and be better the next match, like hands down. I want to go in there and be like, I want to hear somebody say, this was your best match, or this, I've seen you come this far. I want to entertain and be something that the fans can take home, you know, and that my mom can be proud of, right? Like,
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Go for it. It wasn't hard at all for the critiques. I welcome them. My mom's a teacher. I grew up in a very teaching kind of household. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
it's very good when your parents can be proud of what you're doing in this business, because a lot of people do a lot of things that their parents wouldn't be proud, unfortunately, you know, in some aspects. But no, that's great. It seems like you have, like, a really great attitude since the beginning. I kind of noticed that there's like, this website obviously doesn't have all your matches listed, but it seems like you didn't have any matches in 2012 before you started in Shine in 2013. Did you take a break, or what was going on in that year?
There are plenty of breaks that I had taken, especially with moving and in between Kentucky and Florida. There's, you know, getting adjusted, finding a place, you know, working, kind of setting yourself up. What do you want to do? Are you going to develop your character more? And, you know, who are you, right? Who are you in wrestling? And so for me, I had found some places to kind of work out at, and I was kind of putting the pieces together. I took the time to train and work out and work on me, you know, and figure out what I was going to do. And when I got the opportunity for Shine, I had the pleasure of meeting Lexi Fife prior. And that was just like a whole new world that opened up. I consider her just someone that I really look up to, and she's always been there for me, just like she is for the girls. She's a super mom, almost. Like, if Wonder Woman was like hashtag mom, you know, then it would be like her, right?
That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks to her getting to know me and seeing something in me. That's the best part, is being in the right place at the right time. Duh, right? Because there's so many memes with that on it. But having someone look at you and seeing something, you know, even if it's rough, even if it looks like fresh grass, you know, on a sunny day, they see something that they can help you with. And for that, I'm ever grateful. Yeah, and then I met Daphne not too long after, and that was just like, what? So it just kind of picked up and became this snowballing roller coaster candy express. It was like getting inducted into Willy Wonka's chocolate factory without having to work a shift, you know?
Now, the first time that I've ever saw or heard of you would have been the first Shine pay-per-view that I ordered. And I started with Shine 14. And I believe you were in the opener, either the opener or second match versus Sue Young. And in that match, you were doing a Shark Girl gimmick.
No! Halloween!
It was all Halloween? Oh, wow. I thought it kind of looked like a Shark Boy mask. I was totally off then. Well, anyway, you came out with the mask, and I'm thinking to myself, well, this girl has a very attractive figure, but I guess she must have like a mangled nose or something that they're hiding her. But at the end of the show, you came back out, because I think they were trying to figure out a contender for Rain, and you came back out with Daphne without the mask, and then I was like, oh my God, what were they thinking putting her in a mask? She's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I'm flattered.
Oh, you're welcome.
The idea for that was be your favorite wrestler for Halloween, and since I was freshly inducted into the All Star squad at that point, Daphne dressed as Nikki Rocks, and I dressed as Shark Girl, and I got to wear the Shark Girl uniform, and it was a huge honor. I had a blast, and the fact that in that match we got to play Jaws was like OMG LOL barbecue sauce. Like, I couldn't even contain my excitement for that. Like, who gets to say, A, they're going out with someone that they love and look up to and has been nothing but a developed friendship ever since, and I'm wearing Shark Girl, whoa, and Jaws. Yeah. You got nothing, McDonald's. Like, I'm loving it over here.
Yeah, it was a very fun match, and it was a lot of comedy with you biting Sue Young in her butt and stuff like that.
I thought
it was great. And you guys, and then the next show, you guys rematched, and this was kind of, I guess, the precursor to Sue Young's turn, and she kind of roughed you up a little bit in that match. But how did you?
Really like to fight, but.
How did you enjoy wrestling with Sue Young?
We had a lot of fun. Those two matches that we had were a good time, especially because it was like for our, I guess, crew or generation, or I don't know how to, for our little group in Shine, our year, I guess, if we were like high school ranks, I suppose. We all watched that era and that time period, and kind of having a revisit, you know, of that and getting to play with it and having some fun while incorporating the athletics into it and all the psychology, and getting a chance to learn by your mentors how to do that properly. You know, it's not like you can go willy-nilly out there and have a pop gun. You know, it takes so much to do it, and I'm glad that I had the experience of learning how to get a little bit better. Hopefully I've made a stride since then, but that's always going to be a very nostalgic match to me. And the one after was, I was happy to be a part of the turn for her, the development in her career and her path. Because that kind of allowed me to then go off and continue the trail into the enchanted forest of ears and tails and candy cane tails. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, when I started watching Shine, I had done another podcast, and I kind of was talking about the different performers for Shine, and I made the comment that I thought you were like the perfect opener for Shine, because you'd come out, you'd have so much energy and charisma, and you'd dance and get the fans into it and do the comedy and just start the show off on a fun note. But then a few weeks later, you started teaming with Heidi Lovelace, and you started to, you know, go up a level. Like, it seems like every show you go up a little bit of level. How did the tag team, the buddy system, come to fruition? Because it is a bit of a styles clash. You know, Heidi's more of a strong style, or you're more at the time more of a comedy fun. And how do you feel you guys gelled? Did you gel right away, or just your thoughts on coming together with Heidi?
Well, I think that, like everyone, unless you've really known each other, right, like a huge supporter of the Lucha Sisters and the gelling that happens there. And I think that for us, we knew each other, you know, we knew each other. It wasn't like, who are you, Mer? But like, it was very yin and yang. And we were both kind of like, for me, it was like the opener in Step Brothers, where we're like staring across the grass. And we were like, what? And then we found out that we had, like a gajillion interests in common. And it was like, oh, sweet. Like, it was like a tag partner matchup.com. And we hung out and got to talking. And she's just an amazing chick. She's really lovely. And she's a good brain. For mechanics and for how to put it all together to make it make sense. And I'm glad I had the pleasure of getting to be her buddy and learning a lot from her, and also wanting to bring to the table. When you're in a tag, it's very much that you want to have an equal amount, like, oh, she's providing this. Well, I really want to hustle my booty and bring this much more. I want her to feel proud to be my tag partner. I want to be able to be the best version of myself, which was a good motivation for me. She was a motivator for me to continue to learn and watch more stuff. And all right, what can I do? Or what can this character do? Or how do I put it all together? Right. And then can I wrestle in a tail? You know, like, can I push the level like that and play off each other and have that kind of, she's very serious, keeping me on track. And if I don't get another stick of candy, I'm going to flip my lid kind of thing. And so it was a very good, serious, super ecstatic kind of combination that I've really grown to love having. So I'm very proud to be a buddy.
Awesome. Awesome. And it does show, I mean, you have upped your game since you started teaming with her. I want to ask you one question about Heidi, because I got to meet her briefly at the last Shine show. And she seemed to be having some trouble with one of her knees, and to the point where it looked like she was having a hard time just moving. But the next night, she won the Young Lions Cup, and what I hear was like a great match. How's her health? Because you know, if your knee goes, that's kind of a bad thing. But she seems to tough it out when she has to.
Yeah. The one thing I'm going to say is I'm hoping she's doing good. With our busy schedules and stuff, we get to catch up here and there, you know. But I'm extremely amazed and enamored at the strength that she can pull from one day to the next. And when we have a string of shows and we have to be there and kind of go, you really just, you put whatever's going on the back burner, don't you? You know, all right, I sprained my wrist or my elbow's broken or something is wrapped up and strapped up, and however the case may be, if I've got a show Friday night, I'm showing up. I'm doing it. I'm doing it to the best of my ability because you guys bought a ticket. And that's one thing, is that her heart is gold in that sense, where if she's got something going on, she's going to make sure to really bring it for that crowd that's there to come see her and everybody else on the card.
She's awesome. And I was very happy to see her on Raw and SmackDown the other night. That was a nice little treat.
Yeah, there's been a handful of the crew that's gotten the opportunities. I'm so happy to see that. These girls work so hard. So I'm really excited to be in locker rooms with the likes of these women.
Mm-hmm. Oh, before I forget, let me get to one of these fan questions. She wants me to ask you to give her a shout out, but I'm not even sure how to say her name. I think it's Lena Ann or Lena Anna.
Lena? Is it Lena? How do you spell it?
L-E-N-I-A.
Okay, I'll give you a shout out. Hi. Thanks.
Her question is, she wants to know if you're going to be on any of the upcoming Geek Soapbox shows coming up in the near future.
God, is that an awesome show to watch. Everyone subscribe to the Geek Soapbox. It's so much fun. I had a blast doing the ones that I got to do. And I don't know where the future holds for them, but I'm sure the shenanigans with Leva and Mia are definitely down in the future. And hopefully we can all play Pandemic with Lee again. so they are just a ball of fun. And we're hoping to make more videos together in the future. So stay tuned and subscribe. And then if I get to be on it, you know I'm not going to be able to keep a secret. So I'm just going to put it on Twitter as it's happening.
Yeah, I love the one where you guys are at the, it's like, I was at a Comic-Con. And
NerdFest, Orlando NerdFest. Woo!
It seems like there's quite a lot of, like, Comic-Cons down there and also Comic-Cons that are in co-injection with wrestling, where you actually dress up and wrestle. Like, I think you were, like, Power Girl at one of the shows.
I did get my start as Power Girl.
Oh, awesome! How did that come about? I mean, it's a good combination, but until I've heard about that in Florida, it was like the first time I've ever heard of, you know, Comic Cons and wrestling. And how do you feel those shows go?
They're amazing because if you like stuff like that, which, right? Am I right?
Uh-huh.
I was offered. I had very short blonde hair at the time because prior to that, I had very long hair, and they may have burned it at a salon, so I cut it, and I was like, I don't need it, you know, I've had a shaved head before, so I cut it all off, and I'm going about it. I got a message saying, hey, we would really like you to be Power Girl, and they sent me a picture. Now, I'm huge into Marvel, okay, grew up in New York, I can do my thing. DC, I do like, but I'm not savvy, right? So I was like, who's Power Girl? And I Googled her, and I was like, yo, her thighs don't lie, though. So I was really excited. I was like, oh, my goodness, this is a great opportunity. Thank you for thinking of me. And I hopped on the train and made my outfit, which was the first one. I was like, oh, God, what am I doing? I had no idea how to make cosplay anything. I literally, that's where our friendship, me and Leva, really took, you know, to the next level, because I kind of was like, Leva, why do I do this? How, right? And you got to hang out. It's like 3 days of fun where you, all right, so what is Power Girl, right? Like, what are her strengths? What are her weaknesses? Which, you know, and how would she fight in the ring? How would she do that? And then you are that. So it's really Power Girl, kind of like played by Solo Darling. But, like, but you embody that character. Like, Leva being Chun-Li is embodied by that. She does all her kicks, and if she probably could, I knew she would do a spinning bird kick, and I would be KO'd. But getting that started to, like, kind of branch out into other things, like, well, what other character do you like? And I just jumped on Felicia Hardy, like, white on rice. She is my favorite. She's someone I grew up really loving, and it is strange to say identify with, but I pitched for Felicia Hardy, and they were like, well, we do have Spider-Man, and I was like, yeah, yeah, you do, let's do some mixed tags, especially with Joker, and we had Catwoman, and, like, all these other things, so you kind of just are in this small little world in an alternate universe where you are these characters. It's baller. I got the cast of being Daenerys Targaryen, and we'll see how that goes. I have a couple ideas for some really cool flashy moves. Get it I underlined it there for you. And we'll see how that goes for, like, SuperCon or other events like that, if I get the opportunity to do that.
You do make an awesome Khaleesi, by the way. I think you're prettier than the real Khaleesi.
Wow, thank you so much. She's an absolute doll. She's gorgeous. So it was very flattering to be offered that. Still looking for some dragons, though, although I do want to thank Gary Oxide for providing me with some trio babies. They're adorable. So
that's cool. And speaking of Leva, and the first time I had the opportunity to meet you was at the Inspire show in Austin, Texas, with Mia and Leva. And to get to that show, you drove, if I'm not mistaken, 22 hours. How was that road trip? Because I don't know if I could handle something like that.
The greatest thing is you could be in the car with someone for 30 minutes and want to wring their necks, throw them in the nearest ditch. But that is not how any of us are, because I got to spend time with, it was a long drive. I'm not going to say, man, we all really want to drive for 22 hours. Like, who really, you know, wants to do that? But they were a lot of fun. We all got to talk and jab and just, like, play music. And Leva introducing us to more nerdcore, which now I'm a huge fan of. And all the Disney music that Mia likes to listen to. So it was great. We got to stop and get, like, little cheat meals and, you know. Like, yeah, I would love to bring Texas closer to Florida.
it'd be awesome. I could make more Shine shows.
Yeah, just like, you know, we're driving to Texas now. We could just rip some road out. That would be great. And then just drive a little bit less. But, yeah, they're some of my closest friends. I had a blast with it, you know. We did really well for time, too, because we all kind of took our turns well. So
That's cool. And at the show, you wrestled I guess one of the promotions girls that they're pushing, who is I guess just like right out of wrestling school. She was real nice. She seemed to have like a really great attitude. How did you enjoy the match with Delilah Doom? That's right, Delilah Doom.
Yeah. Oh, she's a gorgeous girl. I hope she stays the same. She's lovely. She's got a great personality. And she reminded me of me. it was very parallel. It was like, well, what do you want to do? And, like, let's have some fun. And we're both very rainbowy characters. And we're both very bright. And we both love Robin Sparkle. Let's give it up. Round of applause for How I Met Your Mother, everybody. And, so the first thing we thought of was we got to hug the ref. And then we just started cracking up laughing, like, okay, like, let's just have some fun with this and, you know, not go crazy. Let's learn a bit of character. Let's get you out there. Let's let the world know who Delilah Doom is developing into. And for me to be someone that's one of her first matches was a real big honor, because I remember people giving me that opportunity and wanting to work with me in my first matches. And I'm still new. I'm still so new to wrestling, but I got to be that for someone else. And That's a great moment, you know, a nice, quick, fun match where we get to roll around and high-five and shake our tails and hug it out, right? Like, it was just it was a really nice kind of introductory match. I would love to start something with her. I think that would be a good time.
Yeah, you really put her over. I mean, you pretty much had to be, after the match, carried back to the back. You're so out of it.
And 5'7" is very little.
But yeah, that was great. And then not too long after that, you came back to Austin for Anarchy Championship Wrestling. And I had mentioned when you started teaming with Heidi that you had gone up a level. And on this show, you were going to wrestle with Dina. And I have to say that you not only went up a level, you went up like 3 levels, because I was so impressed with this match. It was so awesome. I mean, first off, you're working with like one of the best workers in the business in Athena. And you guys came in. And to me, it's like you, in this match is where you really upped your intensity level to like skyrockets. Like you told me you made yourself blow up during the match. And,
I was so blown up.
Woo! Yeah, it was so great. What were your thoughts on the match? And how did you come up with the spot where you guys were both going to take like what do you call that stuff? The
Pixie sticks.
I can't believe I forgot the name Pixie Sticks. Yeah,
no
you had it.
I'm an aficionado in candy. I'm more than happy to help you with the names of all the candies in the world, as long as you then provide me with a box of samples. I was ecstatic. First of all, she was someone I wanted to work. I had a list of goals for the year 2014, and that was one of them. And if she's listening now, it's true. Darn it, Athena, I wanted to work you for a long while, and I'm glad that we got to do it. Wrestling with her, someone that's super mechanically inclined and has just herself together when she goes out there, it's like people know Athena. There's no question. And she's so intense. When I got out to the ring and the crowd said, "Don't die solo," like people were chanting for me not to get killed. I looked to the crowd on the back corner, like if you're looking at the match, right, the back right corner.
Uh-huh.
I looked at them and I was like, "Give me a chance, man. Don't freak me out." And the one guy like laughed. I was like, "Come on, hold on a second. I got this." And I basically was telling her, she was like, "Well, this is you, right? You do the thing." She's like, "If I don't see you do the warrior thing, I'm going to be so upset." And I was like, "Don't worry about it. I won't forget." and I was like, "No one has ever challenged me on the power of my candy and or Daft Punch. Because if I go out there with Daft Punch, it's over, right?"
Uh-huh.
So, which is also a strong bad joke. Woo! And she was like, "What do you mean? Like, no one's ever eaten your candy?" And I was like, "Yeah, what would it do to you? Like, if you ate solo tricks, candy and all this other stuff, what would it do to you?" So she did the Stone Cold. And then I just remember her having like blue pixie powder all over her face and trying to keep it together, you know, just trying, because obviously you're intense. We're both jacked up on candy. The sugar rush is real. The fans definitely are aware that right now it's going down. Like, this could blow up, right? And I'm never going to forget how gorgeous her face was with blue pixie candy all over it. It was just kind of one of those, well, let's do it. Let's see what would happen. And we both had a sugar rush and then carried on through to the O face, which was a very intense feeling.
Yeah, it was, like I say, I can't say enough about that match. It was so awesome. And one of the things I noticed in that match, and since then, is one of the things you do a lot of is you start doing the Kobayashi chops. And how did that come about? Are you like a big fan of Kobayashi?
I am. I love that man. And I was watching a lot of that style with Rob Naylor. I was getting the education, the DVDs, and seeing what size. Like, I love it. It's just sugar at its maximum, except I would come up to like his kneecap, right? Like,
yeah,
that man stops you once and you're done. Like, I would be flying through the turnbuckle to the other side of the like hall, right? But just watching him and Kensuke Sasaki and Kenta, woo, congratulations, and just all of the guys that are doing extremely well right now and really kicking it. They were all people that I got to watch prior to the big bang of awesome that's up and coming at the moment. and getting the viewers that they deserve. So it was an intense learning curve for me to remember everyone's name and pronunciation. And that's the funny thing I can tell you, especially because I'm like, what? How do you write that? That's not how you say that. There's like 8 more letters on it. Like, where did they all go? that's not real. But yes, that's definitely a nod to him, as well as the other couple of tidbits that I'll be moving and changing in the upcoming matches of 2015, like the homage of you and the ferocious kicks to the corner, which are now my favorite. I love kicking. There's just no doubt about
I know that you've been doing a lot of kicking. You also, how about the power struggle finish?
Yep, that's definitely a throwback. That's a thank you. And it's something really fun that I enjoy doing because leg day. Man, because leg day, like, why would I not want to use that and, like, ring someone around them, right?
Right.
So, that'll be fun to get to use more often in 2015 should the opportunities arise.
Awesome, awesome. That's pretty cool. I love the Japanese wrestling. And one of my, in fact, I'll argue to people that Manami Toyota is not just the best women's wrestler, but she might be the best wrestler, period, in my opinion.
Man, yeah, no, seriously, and I have a bunch of the likes of those DVDs that I am enjoying at the moment. So
now I do have a non-wrestling question I want to get to, and that I was told to ask you.
Bring it.
What is your favorite movie of the original 3 Kevin Smith trilogies between Clerks, Small Rats, and Chasing Amy?
Oh, what a good question. That's really tough because I heart Kevin Smith in a way. Clerks is always going to be my feel-good movie. Mallrats is always going to be my favorite, as I used to cling to the fact that I thought it was the most romantic thing in the world when he wanted to propose to her when Jaws popped out of the water. Who doesn't want that? That's like romance 101, right? And so just the whole idea behind Mallrats is going to be something I cherish. Actually, I have bought that movie a few times because in moving and traveling and, you know, me being me, I've lost it. So, like, I'll put it down and I'll be like, man, where's my DVD? So I've, like, bought that movie a million times. Probably going to go back up on my wish list. So,
Clerks will always be one of my favorite movies, but because when I was in my early 20s, my dad owned a little family video store that I worked at, and everything that, oh my God, what was his name? Not Dante, but the other guy. It's
Randall?
Like everything, yeah, Randall. Everything Randall had to put up with, and I felt for Randall, and I understood everything about that movie. It was so awesome.
I love, I know that I am one of the few on this scale, but I love Clerks too. I watched it at a time where I was transitioning myself in life, and I find that it's underrated in the fact that they were all going through real type transitioning. That's a huge age to switch and decide what are you going to do, or are you making big plans, or are you settling and getting married? Like, all those things in the movie were really good, and they were a little more serious. But all the jokes with, like, pillow pants and, like, there's only one trilogy and just, like, the entire, like, joking aspect of it. Tijuana, Mexico. So I get such a thrill out of watching it. I don't watch them back-to-back because, like, you know, black and white's, like, just one of those things. And then Clerks 2 is just, like, another for me. But that's usually in my DVD player. So.
And what are your thoughts on Chasing Amy? That's actually one of my favorite love stories.
I really like it. That's not an understatement. It was something I did the rewatch of just recently. Because you watch all that stuff in high school and in college, and then you're like, what? You don't remember all the references. Mm-hmm. And the Fleck, he drives me a little nuts. The Fleck drives me a little nuts. But I loved the dynamic that was there and how she just was kind of like, yeah, This is how it is. Is this what you're going to say, or is this how you're going to think, or are you going to give up on this because of this? Then fine. And she walks out, like, kind of thing. So I'm always going to really like Chasing Amy and the things you don't say on air about it. So so I think that's great. If I could, I would have a collection in, like, from left to right of all the Kevin Smith movies that I haven't collected yet. But I'm on my way. Slowly
yeah, I haven't seen them all, but there's not one that I haven't liked, especially those early ones. We have been on for quite a while, so I want to get in a couple more questions, and then I'll let you go. And the first one is do you feel that you reached many of your goals in 2014, and what are you looking forward to accomplish in 2015?
Okay. Are we doing this lightning round, right? So 2014 was great. I set a bunch of goals, and I had the help of my peers, and I accomplished all of them and more. My biggest pop moment was getting to do Shimmer. I am forever grateful and appreciative of the opportunities I've had there, and I love being there. And the last time getting to hang out with Allison Danger, and praise that, getting to know me a little more, you know, just like getting to know who I am a little more was just fantastic. There may or may not be a marshmallow gun at the next Shimmer, depending on if I can get my hands on it. 2015, I already have a list of goals that I would like to accomplish. I cannot reveal any as of yet. I will have tons of new T-shirt designs because Lord knows I can't sit still for 2 seconds without wanting another T-shirt.
You need to make more tails. I want a tail.
Yeah, I will make more tails. They were all handmade by me. So I will be ordering materials. If anyone has a request as to colors they would like to see in the new 2015 fashion show of tails featured by Solo Darling, please feel free to tweet me and or Instagram me pictures of the fabric you would like. I would be more than happy to accommodate. I will be making changes to my website, solodarling.com. And making it a very easy, fun place to shop and get some solo swag and join the Sugar Rush team of crazy candy scenes. So that's kind of what I've got going for me right now. And as things pop up, I would love to go out of the country next year. I would love to visit some places, see my homegirl in New Zealand, Evie, see another amazing woman that I love, Madison Eagles in Australia, Kelly Skater, oh my God, right? Like, so there's all these girls that, like, I could list for days, but those are girls I would love the opportunity to get over and see over there instead of waiting for them to come here.
Now, after that answer, that great answer, now I have some soap questions I got to throw in real quick. You mentioned Evie, and I love Evie. I think she's awesome. And when the girls came over for that shine, it seemed like whoever lived in Florida kind of adopted one of the foreigners. Is that kind of how it worked?
Kind of, yeah. I had an awesome crew, including Blitz Photography, Blake. And it was me, Evie, Casey Cassidy. I had Kaylee Ray. I love them all. Nikki Storm. So I try and accommodate as many of the girls as I can in my town home of Sugar. So.
That's awesome. And real quick from the Shimmer the Shimmer. One of the matches. You wrestled somebody who is probably the only person in this world who I actually fear, and that is Saraya Knight. She looked at me at a show one time, and I literally almost pooped myself. And what were your thoughts when you found out you had to wrestle Saraya Knight?
I respect her more than I will ever be able to use words to describe, almost ineffable amounts. So I stayed real quiet. I wanted to make sure anything she said as to something I could learn from her, something in terms of the quickness, the pace, the this or that, just anything that she had to say was all I wanted to listen to. It was an absolute honor to just be anywhere near a ring with her, let alone get in a ring with her, as well as everyone else in the match. I mean, that match was stacked. I got to go out as myself with Leva as a raccoon, you know, like it was like the whole entire thing. It was like Heidi's there, Leva's there. We got to wrestle against an amazing trio. So that was a big opportunity match just to be in the ring with. It was like smelling the air of greatness almost, you know?
Yeah, and one thing I have to say about Saraya is I think she is the, as far as psychology, she's the greatest woman wrestler to ever master psychology.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
And my last question comes actually from a friend of yours, and he wants me to get your thoughts on the term whoopee.
I can't. I can't even. I'm putting my hand up. I can't even. my thoughts on it. I think that it is a very underused word in many vocabularies today. I feel that it should make a comeback, unlike other words used to make a comeback in those shows. And I think that Mallrats has the greatest dating game that ever was and ever will be. And thank you, Naylor.
Yeah, he said that question would pop you, and it seems like he was right.
Yeah, well, yeah, like you remember, do you remember the dating game in Mallrats?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not even going to, like, I can't, that's like PG-13. Yeah, that's awesome, that's great.
Cool. Well, I'm going to go ahead and let you go and enjoy the rest of your Friday night, and I really appreciate you taking the time on a Friday night. I know it's not the perfect night to do an interview, but thank you so much.
Hey, man, this is my DC night. I have Dark Knight Rises, I'm catching up on Arrow and Flash, so I'm good. I've got
my
caramel hot tea, and I hope you have a fantastic Friday, and thank you everybody who listened to this podcast, because... Right?
Right. And hopefully, I hope to see you. So I'm hoping you make it back to Texas soon. I'm
definitely going to be there soon. Yeah, I'm definitely going to get to go back, and I will be back at WSU up north. And I hope that everyone is ready for 2015 to celebrate my birthday in February, because there's going to be lots of candy and sugar and cupcakes.
Oh, I wish I could make it.
We'll try. We'll post it as soon as it comes out, like, you know, the details on it and everything like that. So please feel free, anybody who has any questions or anything like that, follow me at Solo Darling on Twitter and at Regulation Solo on Instagram. And if you do want to get a hold of me for any bookings or anything like that, or you guys want merchandise, hit me up at solodarling.com. It'll go right to an email, and hopefully it'll pop up on my phone. I just got a new one, so I'm not really sure how to use it. But thank you so much for having me tonight. I appreciate it.
Cool, cool. And I'm hoping Dave Prazak is listening and that he books you WrestleMania weekend.
I would love that. There will be fluff.
Cool. Well, Solo, like I say, I want to wish you a good night and wish you all the best. And you really are one of the nicest people I've ever met in pro wrestling. And I think you are totally awesome, and I can't wait to see more of you in the future.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You take care.
No problem. Have a good night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, I think that went very well. I'm seeing that one of my co-hosts is calling in, so let me put him on the air. Craig, are you there, Craig?
Greetings and salutations. Edward, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well, Craig. Very, very well. Now, I haven't seen our other co-host call in yet, so... It might be just us for the immediate future, but how's your week been?
Stressful, long, that's aggravating.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, work related or just people being pains in your ass?
Both.
Both.
So, yeah. Getting up to crunch time for Christmas and trying to get everybody together. You know, my company actually redid my mom's kitchen, and that's been a headache because I work at that company and it's my mom. So, you know,
does she call you little son names in front of the coworkers? Like,
no. Nothing like that.
He doesn't say, "Oh, my precious little boy," and give you a big hug in front of everybody.
It's all, you know, instead of calling the office, "Hey, I'll call my son." You know.
Awesome. Well, speaking of stressful weeks, this should have been like one of the worst weeks ever for myself. But as far as the peak season goes this year, it's been the easiest one that I've ever done at UPS. And, thankfully, they learned their lesson last year, and now they added like a shift. So now they're almost running 24/7, maybe 20 hours. So it's been actually pretty dead for the most part, except when we get to the end of the night, then we get killed a little bit. But yeah, usually I hate the world. I hate just the thought of a box. I want to kick a box if I see it, and I haven't felt that way this year. So it's been it hasn't been too bad. And I do see our other co-host is now on the line, so let me put him on the air. What's going on, Couture?
Nothing. I'm sick. What do y'all want? That's going around.
Not me. I've been in the perfect health. Every time I hear Brian and Vinny complain about being sick for a week, I laugh.
A splitting headache, and I think it was the start of a tumor or something.
A tumor? You might want to
mm-hmm.
get that checked. Those aren't good for you.
Well,
no.
I'll wait right for Christmas.
All right. That's fair.
Yeah. But, really, it seems like there wasn't, like, a lot of news this week as far as wrestling, but we did have a pay-per-view, and I don't know. I heard of people who weren't all that high on the pay-per-view. I myself
mm-hmm.
watched the pay-per-view on my phone while I was working, and I could barely hear the announcers, and I think that's the way people should watch the pay-per-view, because at the time, I thought the pay-per-view was awesome. I was like, yeah, this is great. But then I hear everyone else talk about how, and I'm like, what? What were they watching? I guess they were watching everything where I wasn't.
It was okay, I guess.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't think there was anything bad. I mean, even the two matches that everyone knew weren't going to be good, I did not think they were, I'm not going to say they were good, but they weren't, like, horrible. I mean, I thought it was an okay pay-per-view, you know?
I think that finishing kind of hurt everything.
It's true. I didn't actually see the whole pay-per-view yet. I've seen everything I wanted to see. So,
you saw two matches?
I think I watched three or four. But Dolph and Luke Harper they worked so hard and they killed each other. I've never seen so much unintentional blood in a match. That ladder match was just crazy good. I really, really enjoyed that.
I was worried during that match that when they were checking him on the outside, I said, oh, this is going to be stupid. He's going to stand in there from that ring for like 5 minutes while they drill the blood off of this dude's head. He's going to look stupid because he's not trying to win the match. But then Dolph just hopped up in the ring. I said, okay, that's better.
They actually have a new method for the blood where it's just a coagulation agent. So they just kind of spray it on there, and the blood doesn't run, basically. So it's just a spray. So that's a good thing. They didn't even clean him up, really. But I really love that match.
Does it like freeze the blood to him, or what does it do?
It stops the wound from producing the blood, basically.
Oh, okay.
So it helps it to dry up quicker, basically, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
But
now, the one thing, the match was great, but the match in itself did hurt the rest of the show just because it should not have been the opener. And I think they said they had it the opener because they didn't want people chanting Ziggler throughout the whole night, which I don't think they would have done. And I think this should have been second or third from the top. I think they should have ended with Cena just because it is Cena and it did have the most stakes overall. I was happy that Ambrose actually got a main event, but it was hard to follow after, you know, you start off right off the bat and it's kind of hard to follow. What are your thoughts on that?
I didn't mind them going on first, but like you said, it was really tough to follow them, but when something like that comes up, that's not Ziggler and Luke Harper's fault. That's the next match in the ring's fault. But
he should not have had that chair and stairs match. I think also bogged the whole thing down to the rest of the show.
How did they work the stairs match? I didn't actually see it yet.
They just threw stairs at each other.
I see.
Big Show played Tetris.
Okay.
He did. He played Tetris in like four or five stairs on the outside, and then later they went through the Tetris.
I see. I got you.
He was like Legos.
That part was awesome.
Okay. I actually tuned in I was getting ready. It was like 7:30 when I got ready to watch it because I had some other stuff I was doing. I always do the watch from the beginning when I go through the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And every time I loaded and watched from the beginning, it started that damn Mick Foley TLC best of video that they've been showing like all week. Every time I try to watch it from the beginning. So finally, I just went to, I did the watch now to where it started, like in the, wherever the show was at that point, and just rewound it from that point to the beginning of the show and started watching it. And then it buffered from, I think it was like the end of the Ziggler match. And then when it finished buffering, all it was showing was Lillian Garcia announced that both John Cena and Seth Rollins had gone through a table at the same time. So they kind of killed that match at that point for me. Figured either it's going to be a super draw or continue the match. And so then I started doing, tried to watch them look from the beginning thing again. It finally worked. So I was way behind. It's so chill. I was so behind, I felt like I was watching a 4-hour show. I didn't know what the time was. So.
I was very pleasantly surprised by the tables match, actually. I thought that was a very good match.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very good match.
Well, Cena always has good matches.
Just because Cena won, it should have gone on last. So.
Yeah,
that's true. Because you really should have the very end of the pay-per-view, unless it's something important to the storyline, the babyface should win the last match. And Cena, he always steps up in pay-per-view. I can't remember the last bad pay-per-view match. I mean, he'll have some bad TV matches here and there, but as far as pay-per-view, he steps it up. And then you got to give a hand to Mercury and
Noble.
And Noble, yeah. Those dudes worked their asses off, man.
And the cage match the next night.
Yeah. They
made Seth look like such a geek having those guys out there. It's like you got the cruiserweight division. I thought it was just a joke when they had the authority because they're supposed to be like the new Stooges. So it was just like an authority thing. But it kind of makes him look like a geek, I think, out there. Himself. Yeah. You know,
well, that is kind of the point. They're supposed to look like geeks, but the thing is, when they actually work, they're awesome at it.
I thought the cage match was
awesome, especially the way it ended. You know what I mean? You had Brock come out, kill Cena. Rollins is playing the chicken shit role because he thinks he's going to get killed too, and he was awesome at looking scared. And then after Paul, put out his hand, and it took Seth a while before he accepted the handshake. And then when he did, he went from being in fear to just that fucking douchebag smirk. And then the way he took his sweet-ass time to get out of the cage, I thought that was so awesome. Some people were like, oh, he ran away or he should pin. No, that was awesome. That was a perfect ending to that cage match. And I thought that was great.
I'm very much looking forward to the Stooges if they join up with Paul E. I think that's going to be high comedy.
Yeah.
If they do, in fact, do that, or if that was just a one-time thing, I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to see where that one's going right now.
It doesn't make sense to me, I don't think, for Brock not to have killed him.
Well, he's still got the Money in the Bank briefcase, which really they should do something with that. It's been since July, and so it's they could do it like, you know, Paulie is watching out for Brock's best interests and this and that and the other thing, and maybe, who knows? Maybe in the end he just wants to get that briefcase out of Seth's hands, and I don't know, but something.
That just means Brock seems like the kind of guy that would have killed him for revenge for that Night of Champions when he attacked him.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Well, but Paul is a manipulator, you know what I mean? I can see where he could convince Brock of anything. And as long as Paul Lee's involved, it's going to be awesome. So that should be great. I fucking worked out for the Beatles reference. Did you get that, Craig?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was. I've been listening to a lot of the Beatles lately, and that was awesome. Real quick, to get off the pay-per-view, though, I want to talk about, every week, basically, you could play a game of who is in the Rosebud.
Yes.
You know, I've seen a lot of people. You know, I've seen Leva, I've seen Jenny Rose, I've seen Rip Titus, what's her name, the Trish Stratus lookalike from TNA. But it seemed like this week they had the most. They had Scarlett, they had Taylor Hendricks, they had Heidi Lovelace, they had Jimmy fucking Jacobs.
Yes.
And the best part was all the wrestlers tweeting during the match about how, hey, he didn't have to dress up for the show, or nice to see Jimmy Jacobs wearing his everyday clothes.
That's so true. He just went to his van and got
awesome. Something
else out.
And then the photo they posted after the show where it was the Age of the Fall, where the ones that are in the WWE with him and Seth,
yep,
and Mercury and Harper, that was an awesome photo. And I'm real happy for Jimmy Jacobs. I mean, that's a dude who's had his ups and downs. I mean, I think one of the times we interviewed him was when he was living in his van. And, you know, it's great to see that he's doing so much better now.
Yes. Yeah, he was living in his van. He just got done with a hardcore match. Yes. In front of, like, 50 fans.
And then the best part was when Adam Rose introduced the Rosebuds to Kane, and all the Rosebuds were, like, kind of scared, and he goes, hey, Kane. That was great. That was awesome.
And then the bunny got tombstoned. I wonder if you would, when you got a big head like that and you get tombstoned, you don't have to hide it.
There's no padding there. Like a
Linda McMahon tombstone.
And then he took one of the next night too, so.
Yeah.
He's tougher than Daniel Bryan.
I've been so busy, I haven't even watched Tribute to the Troops. Was that any good?
I didn't watch it. To me, I mean, it's still a good show, but to me, it kind of lost its luster when they stopped going overseas to do it.
Sure.
Yeah, maybe it lost a little excitement to me. I don't know. I mean, I still watch it, but it's not like I watch it right away. But I'm sure I will watch it. But I remember I used to love it when they would go to. They'd be at fucking one of Saddam's palaces, and they'd have the freaking tanks and helicopters and just flybys, Apache helicopters flying by. I mean, that atmosphere was so awesome. I mean, I think they lost something. I understand why they did it, cost effective and all that stuff, but that was when it was at its best.
Yeah. I knew what was going to happen, so there wasn't no point in watching. These days, the only thing that I'm interested really in is Raw, because I don't know if it's live. I don't know what's going to happen. So that's the only reason to watch that.
I don't think I've watched SmackDown pretty much all year.
I haven't watched SmackDown in, I don't think, like 3 years. So nothing of importance ever happens. I mean, there'd be a good match here and there, but, you know.
Sure.
I haven't watched SmackDown since I started doing this show, which is like fucking 5 or 6 years. not that I don't know everything that happens on it, you know what I mean? But
sure.
Yeah.
I can just only stand about 3 hours of WWE a week now, and barely that. So.
Oh, I hear you. I did yesterday catch a little bit of a new episode of NXT, and Kevin Owens had a great match with Adrian Neville. So make sure you go out of your way to see that. That's really good.
That's cool. That's cool. Did you see R.D. Reynolds' article he posted today about how the fans are already sick of Kevin Owens, and instead of chanting fight Kevin or fight Owens fight, it's cry, Owens cry.
Okay.
Yeah, a little parody, you know.
Yeah, yeah. He's like the Onion of wrestling. But, that was just a great match. I was kind of worried about Steam coming into WWE because the style he worked on the Indies was so much different than the WWE quote unquote style. And
let's be honest, he's also fat. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. And he's not real tall. He's a normal size guy that's a little heavy. And
he's like me and you.
You know, I'm
he's like me and you, but with athletic talent.
Sure. I'm way taller than the man, though. That's the problem. When you see him in the ring with Adrian Neville, it's like, oh, wow, he's not that tall. But anyway, they had a good match. It was slow from the beginning, and it picked up, and it built, and it built. And the finish was awesome, and the after effect was great, too. So, go watch that.
Well, if you, I will go watch that, but I will have to say that you have to watch next week's NXT because the match of the year happens on the next show, and that is Lucan finally gets her big win on NXT over Carmella, and it actually got a bigger pop than Kevin Owens got that night.
Yeah. So when are you going to start doing your all female wrestling podcast?
I've been trying to get Brian to do it for a while, but he fucking bastard keeps no-selling me. He doesn't think there's an audience for it when there clearly is.
I wouldn't leave that out.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah, well, screw both of y'all. But other than like what we've talked about, it really was kind of a slow week for wrestling. I mean, do you guys have any topics you want to talk about?
Not really. It's like you said, it's slow. It's the holidays. I mean, everybody's off till Monday, and then they're going home for a bit. But it's just kind of a slow time of year. I haven't been invested in the podcasts or anything lately. It's just been, it's a slow time of the year. I mean, other than, you know, January 3rd, we got the Tokyo Dome show. Other than that, there's not much going on right now, which is good.
Okay, speaking of the Tokyo Dome show, I've been dying to see that show since the moment they announced Jim Ross. But I have to say, I'm less excited as soon as they announce Matt Stryker as the co-host. I prefer Jim just doing it by himself, honestly, if he can't have somebody who's... maybe he'll prove me wrong. I just feel he's a good fit for Japan.
Sure.
I would have preferred John Pollock. I would have preferred Mike Tenay. I thought that would have been the perfect thing. Hopefully Stryker will know his place and... you know, won't step on JR's tippy toes and will just follow his lead. And, you know, hopefully that'll work out. But it wasn't a name that added to the excitement. It actually, to me, was a slight negative. But I am still going to watch it because it's going to be an awesome show.
Well, hopefully he's different than he was in WWE because he was too overproduced in WWE.
Yes.
He had way too many cliches you know, and sayings and stuff
yep.
like that. And
yep.
he just, I thought it was horrible, pretty much.
Are you going to order a picture?
I'm thinking about it. I'm not sure. It's a bit early in the morning.
Have you?
It should be. I mean, it should be a great show. I'm thinking I'm going to be able to watch a couple hours of it before I got to go to the paper route, and then I'll finish it when I get home. But that's going to be a crazy night, especially with the UFC show earlier in that day. And did you see the tweet, Craig, where Dave Meltzer tweeted the Young Bucks, and he said that because of his nephews, he's not going to the UFC show live. He's going to watch it because he has to watch the Chico Dome show.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. So the young Bucks are now Dave Meltzer's official nephews.
Awesome. have you guys, to get back to Stryker for just a moment, have you heard Bat on the Lucha Underground shows? Have you watched any of that?
I haven't. I don't. The Lucha Underground. I don't have the channel that it's on in English. And I've been kind of busy, but as soon as I get the chance, I am going to watch them, because I've heard the matches have been pretty great, and, you know, Mascarita Sagrada is one of my favorite wrestlers
yep.
of all time, and, Eva Lis is supposed to be doing awesome, there, and, you know, so I will check it out. I just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Good turn.
No, I've just heard of it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. When you put Matt Stryker in that announcing position, when he's next to Vampiro, Matt Stryker is worlds beyond better commentator than Vampiro. Yeah, I actually enjoy Matt Stryker, and then I'm yelling at the TV for Vampiro to shut up.
Vampiro. There's no other way to describe it. He's different. He's character. And I love hearing him on interviews, but I guess I could see where he could annoy people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think at this point, Jim Ross should just go to TNA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. I don't know why he would, though, because honestly, it's like shooting himself in the foot. Because if WWE was to ever think of taking him back, I don't know that they would after a TNA run.
Yeah, maybe he can just do like these Tokyo Domes or something like this every now and then, you know?
Yeah.
And he can do some MMA every now and then like he's been doing, so.
Sure.
Yeah. Honestly, he should go into very public negotiation talks with TNA. That way Vince would be like, what the fuck? And time to bring his ass back and maybe bring him back. Fortunately, who knows how that would work out. But
I think
he would
improve the product, the TNA product, tremendously if he was announcing.
He
should improve any product. He could do that to any
yeah.
product and make it better, especially TNA. I mean, if he went back to WWE, they could be doing the same thing they're doing now, but it would be just because of Jim Ross. You know, it wouldn't be
but
a lot better.
They're kind of getting a fresh start on this new channel, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, same.
Instead, what they do, they did get rid of Mike and May, and they got Josh Matthews now. So.
You know, I never minded Josh. I thought Josh was actually good when he...
Yeah, I thought
he was
very good. You know what he's talking about?
He was like one of the Saturday shows or something.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear him with Jim Ross do the Tokyo show, actually, because he knows his stuff. He used to always make references when he until they cut him off and told him he couldn't really do it anymore. But, the thing with TNA is they don't really have money. Like, basically, like Brittany turned them, they offered her a one-year deal that she turned down. You know, for someone to turn a deal down, you know, she has to know she's making more doing Shine and the Independence. So that has to be a pretty low contract. Now, they said they'd get back with her after, you know, maybe when they settle, they can people more money. But it seems like right now they don't have a lot of money to play with. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I thought I read this week in the Observer that they had offered Alberto like $300,000.
He's got matches booked for ROH.
But he's got a lot of options too. He can afford to turn that down, probably.
Sure.
So.
I can't remember exactly. He's wrestling Roderick.
He's wrestling Roderick. He's wrestling ACH on a show.
That's right.
The thing that hurts him with TNA is if he went to TNA, he'd be kind of exclusive. Whereas right now, he's in a perfect situation because he's doing AAA, he's doing ROH, he's going to do Lucha Underground probably. You know what I mean? He can do Roderick too, because Roderick, you know, he's not under contract to ROH anymore, so he can do Evolve, he can do FIP, Dragon's Gate. So he's in a perfect position. I mean, you really can't beat the situation he's in, because he could work wherever he wants and do basically whatever he wants. So, you know, you got to hand it to him. So you have to see where he turned down TNA, because, you know, he doesn't need to commit to anybody right now. 13 minutes. Let me throw out the plugs out real quick. Everyone check out angrymarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at angrymarks.com, along with a lot of other shows at angrymarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at blogtalkradio.com/Cotrera and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo. You can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio. If you want more information on the guests we had earlier tonight, you can check out solodarling.com and at solodarling on Twitter and Regulation Solo on Instagram.
And you can check me out on Twitter at my last name, which is Proper, P-R-O-P-E-R, and the word Jam, so Proper Jam at Twitter.
You can check me out at YouTube.com/Cotrera. I got a bunch of stuff up there, so go check that out.
So, did you guys hear last night's Brian and Vinny show yet?
No, I have not.
Have you heard the Granny story at all, Craig?
I have not. Not a bit.
Okay, well, apparently last Thursday, Brian got a call from his mom saying that there was something wrong with Granny. So, of course, they freak out, and they go to Granny's, and he gets there, and Granny is walking with two EMTs to an ambulance. But she's walking perfectly fine. She's in good spirits, joking with everybody. But unfortunately, for some reason, and the reason all this commotion started was because Granny called, I guess, one of her children and said that somebody had broken into her house and left a bunch of presents. And she couldn't remember how they got there. So that's what started the whole thing. So for 24 hours, Granny lost her short-term memory and couldn't remember anything. Like, they'd be like, what's the date? I don't know. Who's the president? I don't know. She's all like, and she lost her bottom teeth, and she kept asking where her teeth were. And then finally, like, they realized it was just her short term, because Brian started asking her, who's pointed to Whitney? He goes, who's that? And Granny goes, that's Whitney. And then, who's that? Oh, that's Brian's mom. And then he asked her, Granny, do you remember Ed? And Granny rolled her eyes and angrily said, yes, I remember Ed.
That's the best
payoff
to the story ever.
Even though she forgot everything, she still remembered her disdain for me. You should go back
and
listen
tremendous.
To the story that Brian tells. It was actually scary at first, because it's like, I don't want nothing
sure.
to be wrong with Granny. But apparently they said that
why.
She's it was just some condition called global transient amnesia. That's like a 24-hour condition. And they said other than that, she was in perfect health. But I laughed so hard while I was drawing my paper out when I heard how she still remembered me, even though she forgot everything else. That was awesome.
It's like a view of Rod's any medical condition.
Oh, man. But, everyone should listen to that show. It was actually pretty, pretty funny. But other than that, I guess, what day is Christmas?
Thursday
or Friday?
Thursday.
Are we doing it? Yeah. Do you guys want to do a show next Friday, or do you all want to take the week off? It's up to y'all.
You already know my vote, man. Come on.
Wait, what?
We can take a week off. I'm going to have kids and stuff here, so
yeah,
I'm going to be playing with stuff.
Cool. Okay, well, we'll figure that out. But we're down to, like, our last 10 minutes, and I really can't think of any more to talk about. So, Craig, anything out of wrestling you'd like to discuss real quick?
I didn't need anything to discuss. I would like to wish all of our listeners a Merry Christmas or whatever you celebrate. I myself celebrate Christmas, so Merry Christmas to you guys and you too as well. Hope you have a good time with family and friends and loved ones, and just want to wish everyone the best.
Yeah, all you do is all love.
Thank you, sir. Anything you'd like to talk about outside of wrestling?
No.
Man,
I'd like to talk about it in an app.
Cool. Well, I would like to, Rich, with you. God damn it. I hate when I know what I want to say, but then I forget what word I want to use. I want to ritually. God damn it. Basically, I want to say everything Craig just said.
Yeah. There you go.
And, everyone have a great Christmas and Happy New Year and Hanukkah and what's the hell is that thing George Costanza's dad celebrates?
Festivus.
The what?
Festivus.
How the fuck did I forget Festivus? Everyone have an awesome Festivus and air out your grievance. And I know
what if I don't have a pole? What if I don't have a pole?
Well, you can start with the feats of strength.
He's kind of scrawny if you've ever seen him, Craig. I don't think he could do any feats of strength. But, everyone, enjoy your Kwanzaa. Do they still celebrate Kwanzaa?
Sure they do.
Cool. Yeah, Thunderlips, have a great Kwanzaa. And so, yeah, everybody... So everybody have a great week or next 2 weeks because it is the holiday season. So we will be back soon and we will talk to everybody soon. So everybody have a good night and we will talk to y'all very, very soon. And I will end the show as soon as I can find the theme music, which I just did.
You want to find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up. I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is awesome. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.